There's a sugya in halacha, particularly in Nuchas Shabbos and Nuchas Yomtev, that really has its roots in this week's parsha. It is, in a sense, a source for most of the shailas, many of the shailas that we have in Nuchas Shabbos today, contemporary shailas, and that revolves around the status of electricity on Shabbos and electricity on Yomtev. So I thought we'd try to really go through the sugya a little bit, beginning literally the Pasuk Chumash, and to try to see exactly what are the ramifications of shailas in terms of different electric devices, lights, other types of things, asking non-Jews to do certain things for us. What exactly are the parameters of these halachas of use of electricity on Shabbos and Yomtev? So the reason why I said that the sugya begins in this week's parsha is because one of the lametes melachas is singled out at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Lo sevaru eish b'chomosh v'seichem yom haShabbos. So if you ask most people what's the melacha par excellence, most people would say the light of fire, which is in fact what the Chumash says. The Torah singles out lo sevaru eish is one of the lametes melachas. No question about it. It's Mr. Derais, it's the light of fire. However, one has to raise the following question, which seems to be a very lomdish shaila, as to how exactly one defines a fire. What exactly does it mean, lo sevaru eish? Again, without having a tremendous background in physics, I can tell you the following. When you light a fire, so really conceptually, two things happen. Number one, you've provided a source of light and heat. That's number one. And number two, something is being consumed. There's some object that the flames are consuming. If you're burning wood, the wood is being consumed. You're burning paper, the paper is being consumed. So there are two halachas, there are two dinim. You're accomplishing something in terms of providing a source of light and heat, and you're also consuming something in the process. Which of these features really defines Eish? When the Torah says, don't light a fire on Shabbos, what is the Torah makbid on? Is the Torah telling us the essence of the malacha is providing something that's glowing, that's providing the heat and the light? That's what Havaras Eish means? That's the Eish Amar B'Torah? What do we say? That in order to be an Eish, according to the Torah's definition of fire, there has to be something, there has to be some kind of a fuel that's being consumed. So my nafkamina, give you nafkamina, if I create something that provides light, it provides heat, but there's nothing, at least to the naked eye, there's nothing that's being consumed. Is that considered to be an Eish, or is that not considered to be an Eish? So come the poskim and say, that's the issue, that's the fundamental underlying issue behind electricity. Why? Imagine an electric light bulb. Now, these light bulbs are not good examples, these are fluorescent bulbs. So imagine an incandescent light bulb, a regular old-style light bulb. What is it? What am I causing to happen? I turn on the switch. I'm causing a piece of metal. There's a filament inside. It used to be copper, not something else. I have a filament, a piece of metal inside that begins to glow. It's providing light. It's getting hot. Proof positive. If I touch a light bulb, an old style light bulb, it's hot. So it's providing heat. It's providing light. It looks like a fire. Not so simple. If you define fire as you define Eish as being something that provides heat and light, then I've been over an Issadir Isa by turning on the light bulb. But if you're going to tell me that the consumption of the fuel, when I light up, when I put some wood into my fireplace, so the wood's getting consumed, or when I press the gas in my car, so the gas is getting consumed, that's considered to be fire. Maybe the glowing piece of metal inside the electric light bulb is not an Eish HaKosu B'Torah. That's not Eish, because there's nothing being consumed. What is that halacha? So some of the Achronim have an interesting raya, a very fascinating raya, not exactly from the world of halacha. Who can here can think of a raya that something is called an Eish, even though it's not getting consumed? The sneh. So believe it or not, some Achronim bring a raya. V'inei ha-sneh bo'er bo'eish. The sneh was burning. V'asneh ninu kol. Even though it wasn't being consumed, it's still considered to be called an Eish. So some Achronim want to bring a raya from there. You see from here that turning on an electric light bulb is an issa d'araisa.
The next puzzle says,
oh, that means Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, wait a second, doesn't make any sense, right? How come it's not really Havara? Okay, so you can pimple back and forth. It's hard to bring raya from the snare to showers of turning on a light bulb in your bathroom. Interesting raya. It's a fascinating raya, but it's hard to bring an absolute ironclad halacha raya from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu and the snare. So, Daka, what's the din? What is that halacha? Is, in a sense, the kindling, the lighting up, the heating up of a piece of metal considered to be Havara, a malacha of lighting a fire? Or perhaps it's not considered to be Havara? So it appears to be a Machlekes HaRishonim. The Machlekes HaRishonim revolves around the following sugya. The Gemara tells us that we have a rule that one is permitted to be over an Issa D'Rabbanan, to violate something that would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan, in order to make sure that people don't get hurt. So let's say, for example, somebody drops a bottle of this glass all over the floor. So normally broken glass is muktzah, you would not be permitted to move it. But if you're afraid people are going to get hurt, you'd be permitted to move the glass on Shabbos. Or let's say, for example, a more common example, not so much, I don't think, in Yerushalayim, but back where most of us come from, snows, it's icy. It gets icy in your front walk on Shabbos. Shaila is, can I put down some salt? So putting down salt on the front walk is probably only an Issa Derabanan. If anything, it's not an Issa Deraisa. It may be an Issa Derabanan. But an Issa Derabanan would be mutter to violate in order to prevent people from falling and breaking their leg. So that's the halacha, that a person is permitted to violate an Issa Derabanan to prevent the hezek harabim, to prevent the group of people from getting hurt. So in the middle of this discussion of this sugya, the Chazal in the third Perek of Masechta Shabbos discussed the following question. About a person is walking the street and they see a hot piece of metal. It's a piece of metal that's glowing, and I'm afraid that if I don't put it out, if I don't deal with it, people are going to walk by and touch it, going to get burned. It's not going to be pikuach nefesh, probably. Someone's going to get hurt. They're going to get hezek, but it's not going to be real pikuach nefesh. Am I permitted to extinguish this burning piece of metal? Am I permitted to come and take some cold water, pour it onto the piece of metal to cool it down, thereby extinguishing it? So the metal used to be glowing, and now I'm going to put out that glowing. Is that permissible or not? So the Gemara says that's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. Since it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, b'makom hezek harabim, it's mutter. So the shayla is, why is it only an Issa D'Rabbanan?
I'll just go back on your example with the ice. Would you be allowed to put down the salt for a yachid? If one person continuously falls on ice, would you be able to put down the salt?
Right, that's a very good question. The pashta dvarim is it's only a heter for rabim. Usually in the front walk is always considered to be sharabim, because you don't know who's going to walk by. It means other people are going to walk by also. It's probably always a makom rabim. So comes the Gemara and says it's permissible. You're allowed to pour the cold water onto the glowing piece of metal, and whatever is involved is only going to be an Issa D'Rabbanan. And the Shaila is why. Why is that not the Araisa? After all, we know one of the Lamites Melachas, the counterpart of Havar, of lighting a fire, is extinguishing a fire. I'm not allowed to be Machabe and Eish on Shabbos. So why don't we consider this an act of Kibbutz on the level of the Araisa? So come to Rishonim and have a machlokes. So Rashi says, you know why it's not considered to be kibui mid'araisa? Because the malacha of kibui is only violated, you're only over kibui in a situation where you make a gacheles, where you make a pecha, where you make a coal. That was the derech of the malacha in the Mishkan. Why did they extinguish flames in the Mishkan? In order to make charcoals, in order to melt the metal, in order to prepare the metal for the construction of the Mishkan, they needed coals. So Rashi says, since the derech hamalacha was lasos pecham, to make this coal, anything such as wood, if you extinguish, it makes a pecham, that's considered to be the malachas kibui d'araisa. Anything that's not shaykh to become a pecham, it can't become a cold, hot metal if you cool it down. Nothing happens to it. It just stops glowing and finished. You can't use that as a charcoal. Anything which cannot become a pecham, by definition, is not included in the melacha of kibui. That's what Rashi says. What can we be medayik from this Rashi? What did Rashi not say? Rashi didn't say that it's not kibui because it's not nesh. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says it's not kibui for some technical reason, some quirk of a reason, because since melachas kibui is only violated with asiyas pecham, and there's no pecham on gechel Hashem ateches, for technical grounds, it's not considered to be the melacha of kibui. But Rashi didn't say the more straightforward reason. Rashi didn't say the simpler reason. It's not an ish. It's not a fire. How could you have extinguishing if it wasn't a fire in the first place? So the chari, you see from Rashi, that it is an ish. A glowing piece of metal is havara. A glowing piece of metal is ish. There's nothing being consumed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't bother us that nothing's being consumed. Just the fact that it's producing heat and light, it's glowing, that in of itself constitutes an ish in halacha. So to heat up such a matter would be a deraisa. To cool down such a matter would only be midirabonim. But to heat it up would be deraisa. However, not all the Rishonim agree to Rashi. Rabbi Elazar Mimitz in the Sefer Yerayim, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Natan, the Sefer Yerayim writes that the reason why it's not the Araisa to extinguish the glowing piece of metal is because it wasn't an Eish in the first place. The Yisr of Kibui is to be Mechab and Eish. If it's not an Eish, it's not going to be Kibui. This is the view of the Sefer Yerayim. Sefer Yerayim says it. However, we assume the halacha like Shittas Rashi. The Rambam says it explicitly. The Rambam, in discussing the halachas of Havara and Kibui, the Rambam also makes mention of the fact that heating a metal is a violation of Eish, would be a Nisa D'Raisa of Havara. And that's the way all the later poskim assume. There's Nimnu V'Gomru, the consensus of all the Gedolei poskim in Europe when electricity first was discovered, was to follow Shittas Rashi, to follow Shittas Rambam. And that's how we paskin halacha. B'lishim Sofek, we assume that the heating up of a piece of glowing metal is an Isidiraisa. We assume that it's most probably an Isidiraisa of Havara, and therefore to turn on an old style electric light bulb would for sure be an Isidiraisa. That's how we pass in Halacha. Turning on a regular incandescent bulb is Diraisa. There were some who wanted to argue that that's true when it comes to an incandescent bulb. What about a fluorescent bulb? A fluorescent bulb, there's nothing glowing. There's no piece of metal. There's no heat. It's just gases that are getting excited inside. So maybe that wouldn't be Diraisa. So the Metzias HaDvarim is, and again, I'm not a physicist, I'm not an electrician, but the Metzias HaDvarim was explained to me is that that's not always true. That even in fluorescent bulbs, sometimes as a part of the mechanism of heating up the fluorescent bulb, there are wires, there are pieces of metal that are actually getting heated up in the process. So that would also be a Shalav HaVar Diraisa. So one shouldn't take the approach that fluorescent, no problem, it's only Dirabanan. It may very well not be true in terms of the Metzias HaDvarim. But a copon of a regular old style light bulb, we assume the halacha is for sure the Diraisa based on the Shittas Rashi, based on the Shittas Rambam.
So operating electricity where no light, where limited is no light.
That's exactly what I'm up to. That's the next part of the Shia. Okay? So now we move on to the next part of the Shia. So up until now we talked about the simple, straightforward halacha in terms of the light bulb. Now the question becomes, what about other types of electric devices which do not involve a light bulb? For example, an air conditioner, a fan, a vacuum cleaner, a lot of different electrical devices that there are no light bulbs per se. What would the halacha be about that? What possible issa could that be? So l'chora, it's not havara. Is it l'chora? Not everyone agrees. So l'chora, it's not havara. If there's nothing glowing, nothing burning, nothing heating, so l'chora, that's not considered to be havara. However, came the Chazanish with a big chiddush. Comes the Chazanish and says that there's another malacha involved in electricity. Nothing to do with Havara. Says the Chazanish, there's a malacha of bona. What does bona mean? We know what bona means. Bona means to build. Bona means I build a structure. I put bricks together. That's considered to be a malacha deraisa of building, of construction, of bona. Says the Chazanish, there is a sugya in many places, the Masechus Shabbos, the Masechus Beitza, about binyan bekelim. Is there a malach of bona when it comes to utensils? If a person puts together different pieces and makes a kli, is that considered to be bona or not? So we paskin halacha that ain binyan bekelim, that the malach of bona doesn't apply to kelim. However, many Rishonim say, the Ran and others say, that's true when you're not making a kli from scratch. But if you take the pieces, the components, and you mamish form a kli, you eis a kli meikaro. So if you take raw materials and you form a kli out of them, say the Rishonim, in the chabayin agolim yizeh, that yesh binyan bekelim, that's considered to be the malacha deraisa of bona.
We'll get to it in a second.
So comes the Chazanish and says, first he gives us a hakdama, an introduction to the malacha of bona. So normally bona deals with things which are karka, which are part of a structure connected to the ground. The Gemara does discuss the sugya binyan bekelim, but the Rishonim say that yesh bona bekelim when you oise kli mechadash. If you make a kli out of nothing, you take the raw pieces of metal, you form together and make a kli, that is considered to be bona. The example that's given, the Ran says, based on the Gemara, Masechus Shabbos in the 12th parak, the Gemara says if you take a piece of metal and you take a piece of wood and you form together to make a shovel, so the Gemara says that's called Ichai Bishum Alechas Bona. So he asks the Ran, I ain't binyan bekelim. Says the Ran, that's not binyan bekelim. You made the kli. You formed the kli, Yesh Be'ayin, not literally Yesh Be'ayin, but you formed the kli Mechadash. That's called Malechas Bona. Says the Chazanish, when you have an electric device, I have a fan for argument's sake, but it's not plugged in yet. It's not turned on yet. Says the Chazanish, it's a piece of junk. What am I going to do with it? It's a piece of metal with a thing in the side. It doesn't do anything. It's worthless. It's mamash like a piece of junk. Says the Chazanish, when I plug it in, I turn it on, it's mamash tchias ameisim. I take a piece of nothing and I turn it into a functioning device. Says the Chazanish, ein lecha bayne kli, gadol mizeh. Ein lecha oise kli, gadol mizeh. Says the Chazanish, the turning on of an electric device, not with the light. Light is a far, it's a different shtickle Torah. The turning on of an electric device, the creating of an electric device, the creating the completion of the circuit which makes the device function, says the Chazanish, turning a piece of junk into a functionable kli, that's called malachas boina, and that would be an isadir haisa. Then the Chazanish says, to make matters even worse, he says, don't even get involved in the sugya of bona b'kli, because electricity is bona b'karka. Why is it bona b'karka? Because it's plugged into the wall. So the Chazanish argues that whatever's plugged into the wall, there's dino k'karka. So b'meila, it's binyan b'karka, so it's the worst kind of bona possible. It would be a nafkamina between the two reasons of the Chazanish about a battery-operated device. So according to the first pshat of the Chazanish, it's called bona because it's osa kli mechadash. There would be no difference whether it's plugged into the wall or whether it's battery-operated. But if you go with the second root of the Chazanish, that we're what makes electricity bonus because it's mechubal karka, then maybe one can distinguish between the battery and the plugged in. But lemaisa chadishas, both are true. Both are independently true. The chadish is clear that either one of these two reasons is sufficient. And therefore, according to the Chazinish, any turning on of any electric device or any pressing of any button or anything, any kind of a creating, completing an electric circuit would be an isidir ha'is of bona.
How's it karka?
So he claims it's karka because it's mechubal karka, because it's stuck into the ground. The same way that a house is dinuk karka because it's connected to the ground. So the fan that's plugged into the wall is also called mechubal karka. That's a chiddush. That's already a big chiddush, the Chazinish is saying. But the Chazinish says, you don't even need that. Now he threw that in as a yes to say, as an extra reason. You don't really need that. Just the fact that the Isa Kli Mechadash in and of itself is an Isidir Isa. However, others disagreed with the Chazinish. First and foremost, they disagreed with the Chazinish, Reb Shlomo Zalman. So Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote a kuntras many, many years ago, before he was even famous as this, the Pesach Ador. Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote a kuntras disagreeing with the Chazinish, as you said, about Boneh, for a variety of reasons. The Chazinish, Reb Shlomo Zalman thought that this would not be a violation of Boneh. If it's not a violation of Boneh, then what is it exactly? If it's not awesome, Mishum Boneh. So there were already poskim in Europe, already earlier poskim before Shlomo Zalman, the Beis Yitzchok, others, who suggested that maybe there's some other kind of an Isser involved in electricity. Again, electricity with mamish lights on it, that would be mamish deraisa. That we already said, that's Havara, that's for sure deraisa. Electricity without lights, so if you don't accept the Chazinish, so what could it be also based on what? So some Acharim said it's based on Issa, what's called Moilid. The Gemara says that one is not allowed to be Moilid in Davar Chodesh on Shabbos and Yontif. One's not allowed to create something from scratch on Shabbos and Yontif, even if there's no Malacha per se involved. The Gemara says that if a person takes ice and he starts to crush up the ice in order to drink the water, so that's an Asur on Shabbos. Why exactly is that Asur on Shabbos? So it's a three-way Machlekes of Rishonim. So Rashi says the reason why it's Asur is because it's Molid davar chadash, because it used to be ice, and now I'm creating water. Now, of course, we know scientifically, chemically, water and ice is the same thing. It's just two different forms of H2O, but al pi halach, it's different. One is a solid water, one is a liquid water. So anytime a person takes a solid and forms into a liquid, or quite possibly, according to Rashi, the other way around also, according to many poskim, if you take a liquid and make it to a solid, according to Rashi, to make ice in Shabbos, maybe it would also be a problem. That's a problem of Moilid. You're creating something new in halacha, and Moilid is usur. Why is it usur? So Rashi says it's only usur in the Rabbanan. It's not a malacha, it's not one of the Lamites malachas, but you're not allowed to be Beirei Davar Chadash. The same with the Rabban Shalom. Stop being Beirei things on Shabbos. So we're not allowed to be Beirei things on Shabbos, even if it's not technically one of the Lamites malachas. So some Acharonim suggest that maybe that's the issue involved in electricity. Electricity is not a deraisa like the Chazinish. It's not based on boneh for technical reasons, but Moilid it is. It's still a davar chadash. I'm taking something which didn't function and making it function. So how could that be any less of a problem than the iser of melting ice on Shabbos? So came a group of Echaredim and said that it's aser, but it's aser out to Moilid. So we really have three different possible isurim involved when we discuss electricity. We're discussing lights and incandescent bulb for sure. We're talking about a deraisa of Havara. We're talking about a device without an incandescent bulb glowing. Then we're talking about either a Nisa Deraisa according to the Chazanish or a Nisa Derabbanan of Moilid according to other Poskim.
It's not three positive or one, it's either two or one.
Okay, right, depending, okay.
Even there's some Mizami, you might have a thing where if you come up with two or one. Okay, possibly.
I mean, three different possible permutations of what it could possibly be. Okay, an Okinami. So Lamaisa, how does this play out for us? Well, obviously, it goes without saying, or should go without saying. Baruch Hashem, Hashem Eter Mitzvah, so nobody ever dream of turning on either electric bulb on Shabbos or any kind of electric device, any battery device. Belishim, Suffolk, there's no question. Obviously, we're not going to get involved in that. But the question is, do we really treat it like a deraisa, or do we treat it as a derabbanan? My nafkamina. So one of the most basic nafkaminas is, in terms of Amir Li'akum, in terms of asking a non-Jew to do some of these activities on our behalf. We have a general rule that whatever a person is not permitted to do, he's not permitted to ask a goy to do either. It's an issa of Amir Eliyakum. The Gemara seems to say explicitly that this is only an issa derabbanan. There is a Rashi al HaTorah in Pashas Bo that sounds like Amir Eliyakum is also min HaTorah, but the poskim point out that it's very hard to accept that. The Pashas Dvarim and all the Gemaras and all the Rishonim is that Amir Eliyakum is only also min derabbanan. Why did they ask for min derabbanan is a machlokes? Some Rishonim said that we're afraid that if you ask a guy to do malacha, next thing you know, you're going to want to do the malacha. Some Rishonim say that we view Midrabbanan, the guy is like my shaliach, he's like my agent, l'chumra. Some Rishonim say, I'm not even allowed to talk about malacha, so kavachomer to ask a guy to do malacha. It's a variety of reasons, Chazal Aser, Amir Eliyakum. But since Amir Yachom is only Midirabbanan, Chazal instituted certain kulas in Hilchos Amir Yachom as well. What are some of the kulas? So much of the discussion revolves around the Gemara in Maseches Erevin, where the Gemara discusses the following shayla. The Gemara discusses the situation where there was supposed to be a bris on Shabbos, and we know that a bris mila Yom HaShemini on the eighth day is Docha Shabbos, but only the bris itself is Docha Shabbos. All the preparations for the bris are not Docha Shabbos. Let's say, for example, the Moel has to make sure there's a knife here. He has to make sure that everything is all set up. The Moel can't drive to the bris on Shabbos. He has to make sure that everything is ready. The bris itself is Chol Shabbos Deraisa, but everything else is what's called Machshirei Mila, which are not Docha Shabbos. The Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos that Bismana Gemara, it was absolutely necessary to wash the baby off with warm water before the bris could take place and after the bris. Some kind of antiseptic to make sure the baby shouldn't become infected. They used to wash off the baby with hot water. We don't do that Bismana Zeh, the Pesukim say. We have other ways of doing whatever we do, so we don't actually insist on the hot water, but Medina Gemara, Bismana Gemara, it was absolutely critical to have hot water. So the Gemara discusses the whole Shaila that they're about to do a bris and they realize there was no hot water. So what do you do? So one of the eights that the Gemara says is that you're allowed to ask a goy to carry the water for you. You're allowed to ask a goy to go somewhere else. There's no Erev, and the goy is going to carry the water for you. And the question is, why should that be so? Isn't that a violation of Amir Liachom? So this Machlekes of Rishonim had to understand what's going on in that story. So there was some Rishonim who say that, yes, it's Amir Liachom, but for Mokom Mitzvah, it's Mutter. That you're allowed to ask a goy to do an Issa for you, what would otherwise be awesome. I'm not allowed to carry in Shabbos. That's one of the Lamites Belochas. But in order to make sure the Mila takes place, I'm allowed to violate Amir Liachom. So there was, in fact, one day in Rishonim, the Baal HaItur, whose opinion was that Amir Liachom is always lifted by Mokom Mitzvah. That would be an amazing kula. It means you're allowed to ask a goy to turn on lights for you, allowed to ask a goy to carry things for you, to ask a goy to do whatever's Malachas.
Well,
the Yeah, Nochanami, right? According to the Balit, you can ask him to heat up the water also in Nochanami. So according to the Balit, you can do anything. Amir Liachom, everything, all Amir Liachom is mutter b'mokom mitzvah. So most of the Rishonim didn't accept the Balit. We try very hard not to follow this opinion of the Balit. Under the normal circumstances, we don't follow this. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? So Tosfos writes, the Pshat in the Gemara is as follows, that when we ask the goy to carry the water for us, we know that carrying is a malacha d'araisa, but not always. Carrying is only a malacha d'araisa when you have a rishus haram d'araisa, when you have a public area that's labeled as public on a level of d'araisa. Water, okay? See, we talked about the water spilling. It wasn't hot water, it was the cold water. So comes Bali HaTosfos and say that one is permitted to ask a goy not to carry the water for me in a Rosh Hashanah D'oraisa, not in an area where you're not allowed to carry me D'oraisa, but only in an area where I'm not allowed to carry me D'rabbanan. In order to be labeled as Rosh Hashanah D'oraisa, there are some very real conditions that are necessary. It has to be a certain size, according to some Rosh Hashanah, a certain amount of people. It's very rare that you get a real Rosh Hashanah D'oraisa. Very often, the areas that we're not allowed to carry in are only prohibited mid D'rabbanan to carry. Comes Tosfos and says that to ask a goy to do a d'araisa, you're not allowed to do. But to ask a goy to do a d'rabbanan, it's a mira on a d'rabbanan, that's what's called in halacha shvus to shvus. Shvus means a nisa d'rabbanan in halacha Shabbos. I'm permitted to ask a goy to do a nisa d'rabbanan, even if I would do it, it would only be d'rabbanan. I'm allowed to ask a goy to do a d'rabbanan b'mokom mitzvah. So if I have three things going in my favor, it's a mira liyakam, which is only d'rabbanan. The isser involved is gufa only in isser derabbanan, and it's b'mokom mitzvah. A combination of those three, then and only then is it's mut. That's the shita satosis. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch.
They combine the shita. They also use the shita.
Well, it's not really the Balat. The Balat Iter says that you're allowed to even ask a goy to do a d'araisa for you. Whereas Tosfos says you're only allowed to ask a goy to do a d'araisa, which of course would explain why the Gemara didn't ask them to heat up the water, because to ask the goy to heat up the water would have been a d'araisa. So that's how we assume the halacha, the Pesukim Shulchan Aruch, right, in Hilchos Shabbos, that a shvus to shvus b'mokom mitzvah is mutter. You're allowed to ask a goy to do a d'rabbanan for you b'mokom mitzvah. Then the Rishonim add on, what if it's not a real mokom mitzvah? What if it's some kind of a uncomfortable situation, a mokom tsar? What if it's maybe a hefsed merub, it's a big monetary loss? So all of the above may qualify to permit a shvus to shvus. I'm allowed to ask a goy to do a derabanan if there's some kind of a big tzarech, mitzvah, hefsed, tzar, etc., one of the above. So now the shaila becomes as follows. I want to ask a goy to turn on a light for me. Am I permitted l'chatchila to ask a goy to turn on a light for me? There's some kind of a mokom mitzvah. I want to be able to daven here. I want to be able to learn here. Am I allowed to ask a goy to turn on a light for me? So what's the answer? Pashtus, it depends on the machlokes, bala itter, and everybody else. According to the Baal Hittar, I'm really Akam's mutter. I can ask a good eternal light for me to learn, to daven, whatever I need to make a mitzvah is mutter. But we don't follow the Baal Hittar. We follow Tosfos. Tosfos says to ask a good to turn on a light? No, turning on a light is the araisa. So to turn on a light is the araisa. To ask a good to turn on a light, to do a araisa, if you would be also even make a mitzvah. But what if it's not a light? What if I come into a room and I want to sit and learn. I want to learn the Beis Medrash. It's very, very hot in the Beis Medrash. It's impossible. I can't concentrate. I can't learn the Beis Medrash. I want to know, can I ask a guy to turn on the air conditioning for me? Is that a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah? Or is that a mil yakob and a diraisa b'makom mitzvah? So it depends. If you accept the Chazon Ish, that all electricity is by definition diraisa because it's built in Bona, either because of its kli or because it's karka, whatever it is, according to the Chazon Ish, that all electricity is deraisa. So it's finished. I'm not allowed to ask a goy to do a deraisa for me, even makom mitzvah. We don't accept the Baal Iter. But if you accept, the poskim will disagree. If you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you hold like the Beis Yitzchak, if you hold like others, that at worst the Isra is only midirabanan. Then you have a case. Then we could discuss it. Then we could say, I'm permitted to ask the goy to do a dirabanan. Because even if I would do it myself, I would want to be dirabanan to throw on the air conditioner. To ask a goy to do a dirabanan for me, b'makom mitzvah. So the chayr, one would have a right to be mekel. So this machlek is the Chazon Ish and others. It's not going to be an afkamina for me. No Jew's going to turn on, no from Jew's going to turn on an air conditioner on Shabbos. But we want to know how strong is this Isser? What's the toke of this Isser? Is it a Diraisa? Is it a Dirabon? If it's a Diraisa, then Amir Yacham is going to be a problem. If it's Dirabon, then we'll be able to be Mekel.
Do you also include
the Machin Sarah, Machin Ruah, and Chris? Right, according to the Mekidim, that would the follow as well. So up until now, we've been discussing electricity on Shabbos, electric lights on Shabbos, but we have to really go to the second half of the Sugya, and that's the issue of Yom Tov. How does all of the above play out on Yom Tov? So, depends who you ask. If you ask the Chazon Ish, I'll tell you no. Yes, Rosh Hashanah, I'll tell you yes. Depends who you ask.
In America?
There are many poskim on Mekel. We'll leave it at that.
If it's Malcolm Rabin, does it help?
Malcolm Rabin may make things a little bit better. Malcolm Rabin, we may have certain other coolers involved, so maybe a little bit more ground local. How does all of the above play out in terms of Yom Tov? What's the din on Yom Tov? So this malacha, primarily the malacha of Havara, we know that, technically speaking, one is allowed to light a fire in Yom Tov. The Torah says that Achashir ochel lechol nefesh, uvat liyaseh lechem, ochel nefesh is mutter in Yom Tov. I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov, allowed to light fires in Yom Tov in order to cook. There is a machlekes atanoim, am I allowed to light fires on Yom Tov for other reasons as well? Let's say not for cooking, not for eating. I want to light a fire to read by the fire. Or I want to light a fire because it's cold in the house. Am I permitted to do so? So it's machlekes b'shamay and b'selil. B'shamay says you're only allowed to do malacha l'tzorech echol nefesh, like the Torah says in Precious Bow. And b'selil say that mitoch shehutra avar l'tzorech, hutra shalol l'tzorech. Since the Torah permits lighting of fires for cooking, one is allowed to light fires for other reasons as well. What does that mean for other reasons as well? So that's a further machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it doesn't even have to be a reason. It doesn't even have to be a justified reason. You can light a fire for whatever you want. It doesn't matter whether you can use the fire or not. But lighting fire is a mutter in Yom Tov. And Tosfos writes, no. It has to be a Yom Tov to a reason. It has to be something that's going to enhance your Yom Tov. You're going to read by it. You're going to heat up the house by it. You're going to wash hot water, wash the dishes. Whatever it's going to be, some kind of a tzorech hayom. That's mutter. So machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. But everybody agrees we pass like this alone, that you're permitted to light fires in Yom Tov if there's some kind of a tzorech hayom. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Maseches Beitza tells us that there's a limitation on this. Namely, what if I want to light a fire from scratch? I want to rub two sticks together, rub two stones together, create a fire from scratch. So comes the Mishnah and says that you're not allowed to do. One is not permitted to bring out a new fire from scratch. To throw wood into a pre-existing flame is mutter on Yom Tov. To add oil to a pre-existing flame is mutter on Yom Tov. But to start a fire from scratch is also, that's what it says in the Mishnah. And the question is, why is that? Where did this issa come from? So although there are some who suggest maybe this is an issa diraisa, it would appear that most poskim don't say this, that this is some kind of an issa dirabanan. And the question is, what exactly is this issa? Where did this issa come from? What's the nature of this issa? So Rashi, basing himself on the simple reading of the Gemara Maseches Beitza, says that the reason for this issue, the reason for this issa, it's based on molid. This is a throwback to what we said before about the water. Remember we said that one is not allowed to crush ice on Shabbos, turn it into water, even though there's no malacha per se that's involved. Just the very fact that I'm creating something new, I'm turning solid into liquid, is problematic mid the Rabbanan on Shabbos. That's called Moilit. Says Rashi, Maseches Beitza. The same is true on Yontif. I'm not allowed to create new things on Yontif. So even though there's no malacha ha'asur involved, because lighting fires is mother on Yontif, Havara is one of those malachas that's permissible on Yontif, but the mere fact that I'm starting something from scratch, that in and of itself should be problematic on a level of the Rabbanan. So Molid of a Chodesh, says Rashi, that's the source for this Isser in the Mishnah of Eimel Tzienes Ha'esh Min Ha'etzim Min Ha'avonim. Not everybody agrees to Rashi. Other Rishonim have different possibilities, but Rashi seems to say the simple pshat in the Gemara that this is an Isser Derabanan of Molid. So the question becomes, how does this play out in terms of electricity? Person turns on a light switch, and now an electric bulb, an old incandescent bulb, starts to glow. Is that considered to be starting a fire from scratch, which would be subject to this Mishnah? Or do we say, no, that's not starting a fire from scratch. That's a continuation of an old fire. To strike a match is Asur and Yontif, but maybe to turn on an electric bulb would be Mutter. So this was actually a machlokes supposed to be in Europe 100 years ago. What's the din? Is a person permitted to turn on an electric bulb? Is there an issue of Havara turning on an electric bulb on Yontif? So there was some poskim who maintained that this is considered to be just an extension of a pre-existing flame. So someone as great as Yoruch HaShulchan wrote this way, that turning on an electric light on Yontif is mutter because it's just a continuation of a pre-existing flame. So most of the other poskim disagreed, and the later poskim have all agreed upon that this is not correct, that we do not accept this Yoruch HaShulchan, that apparently the Metzias, where Yoruch HaShulchan, they explained to him the physics of how electricity works, is not really correct. If the Metzias HaDvarim is that there's no flame there beforehand. When you turn on an electric bulb, you're starting the fire. There was nothing glowing beforehand. There was electricity running around through the wires, but there was no flame, there was no glowing, there was no metal that was heated up. And therefore, when you turn on an electric light, you're starting a fire mechadosh. Therefore, we assume the halacha that one is not permitted to turn on an electric bulb on Yontif. I don't know if any of you remember, but this is probably a little bit before even your time, before your grandparents' time, but maybe your great-grandparents' time. So there were people who came from Europe, Mamish Shomri Torah Mitzvahs, who used to turn on electric lights. I remember people when I was a kid, people used to mamish turn on electric lights on Yontif, and they had a psak from their abundant from Europe that was mutter. I can't argue with that, it's true. There were Gedolei Olam in Europe who were mapped to turn on electric lights on Yontif based on this psak, that's not called the Havara Mechadosh. That's considered to be like throwing more wood into the pre existing flame. But the later post give assume that this is a problem. That's what we should be knowing. Nobody, Lafini is Daiti, nobody should rely on this cool anymore. We assume the halacha that turning on an electric bulb would be a very real problem, not with the Raisa on Yontif, because there's no Havar the Raisa on Yontif, but it would be a problem in the Rabbanan of Eimel Tzinas Ha'esh Bin Ha'etzim Bin Havanim. If one accepts the Chazon Ish, that in addition to the problem of Havara, there's also a problem of a bonet, then there's nothing to discuss. Then for sure, to turn on an electric bulb would also be problematic, would be even more problematic because of the issue of bonet. So apparently the earlier poskim who didn't address the issue of bonet probably didn't accept the Chazon Ish's Chiddush as well. L'chor, according to those poskim who said there was a problem with molid, maybe would also have problems on Yontif as well. So, we do not turn on electric devices with lights, without lights, bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yontif. But the degree of Isser is not quite the same. On Shabbos, the electric bulb is the araisa, at least the incandescent bulb. Other electric devices are subject to the machlokes, the Chaznish, and others. On Yontif, we assume halacha that there's probably no deraisa, unless the Chaznish is correct. There's probably no deraisa, and at worst, it would only be as the rabbanan. Why is this important, halacha? It becomes important, once again, in terms of Miril Yachom. So even though we don't ask a goy to turn on a regular light bulb for us on Yontif, even b'machom mitzvah, because we assume that's an Miril Yachom on a deraisa, but to ask a goy to turn on a light bulb for us on Yontif, there would be more grounds lahakil if there's some kind of makom mitzvah involved. Because on Yontif, at worst, it would only be a derabanan. So then we can apply the principle, invoke the principle of a shvus to shvus, makom mitzvah, makom some other significant etzarach. So chopanim, everything we've said all revolves around one pasuk in Chumash. Lo sevar eish b'chumash v'seichem yom b'Shabbos. That's the makom for everything. The question is, how do you define eish? Does eish refer to the glowing, to the heating, to the light? Does eish refer to the object being consumed? Does that carry over to electricity? What if there's no lights involved? Then are there other issues involved? Is there an Isidir Isabon, an Isidir Abon Namoilid, Nafkamiz in terms of Mil Yakum? And how does all this play over to Yontif? When Yontif, there's no Dirais of Avara, but there may be other problems of Molid, say, Eish Ben Eitzim Avara, maybe the issues of Rim of Bona, etc.
So on Yontif, doing a Mil Yakum to ask a Jew guy that's on your air conditioner, is that less or less people
Well, it depends. If you accept the Chazanish, then it's the same story as the Chazanish. It's the same bone, it's the same problem. On according to the post of Megillah and Shabbos, it's probably going to be the same as well. So the Air Kedusha is probably no difference in Shabbos and Yontif. Either it's a Deraisa or it's not. But the thing where Yontif becomes even more kal, potentially, is in the realm of light bulbs. Because light bulbs, even according to we Paskin, that light bulb is Havara, but this probably would not be Havara. So that's a problem of molad. That's also a problem of molad. The same way that we ask that all electric devices on Shabbos because of molad b'drabanan, so it's probably in a sefer about or according to Chazish would be a deraisa.
Did you say that something with lights has a problem of molad also, or no?
So that may also be. That also be molad, right? We assume that may also be molad. So we're nochinami. At the end of the day, they're all four rasa. The light bulbs on Shabbos are rasa. The electronic devices on Shabbos are rasa. The light bulbs are rasa, and you don't have electronic. I didn't come here to be mocked or anything. I just came to try to be magdir which halachic category it falls under. So you have to know the difference. What's their ice? What's their body? They're not coming as ladina. You have to know when I'm really akam is buddha, when I'm really akam is also. So everything's also. Just a question. Not everything, but at least these cases, everything is also.
Of that object.
No, what?
There is use of the object, so it's not mola.
No. Use or not doesn't make a difference. It means if just the mere fact that I'm completing an electric circuit, I'm starting something mechadash in a sense. So what do you mean it works? How does it work?
Let's say it's like a massager, right? You can rub it on someone's back and it feels okay, but if you plug it in, it works better because it shakes.
I don't know. Paul's going to discuss if you have something that's not quite broken, it's functioning, but you're going to make it function better. Is that really considered to be machba patish, a bone or something? I don't know. I'm not sure if that would fall under this category.
That's what I think that's the inhaling, because you shovel, you can use a shovel, right, or you can attach the wood part to it.
Okay, and it's still called boner, right? Rishon, still say it's called boner. Okay, maybe in a chenam, maybe. Open him.
A dimmer switch on
Yontif.
The what? A dimmer switch on Yontif where it's turned down low.
Right. So in theory that should be mutter, but practically it's not because the metzias advarim is the way at least it was explained to me is that when you turn up those switches, so it's not pshat that the same parts that were glowing now glow more. There are some things that are turned off and there are other things that are turned on. So there's a whole difference of system of what's going on within the system. So there are acts of kivui taking place and new acts of avara that are taking place. So if the metzias advarim would have been that it's just getting redder or glower, that would have been mutter. But I think the metzias is not that way. So air conditioners also that any time we assume that any adjusting of any electric device is some kind of a molad, that some kind of a, again, according to the Chazanish, maybe it's more of a boner also, we assume there's some kind of an issue of molad involved. Okay.
According to the Machlokas and the there's not really a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Either way, according to
Rishon, it'll only be the Rabbanan, right? According to Rishon, it can't be the Raisa. And Yontif, there's no deraisa involved, because Havara deraisa can't be, and Bona deraisa doesn't exist. So it'll be deraisa.
Where the Chazish, what deraisa is on Yontif?
According to Chazish, it's Bona and Yontif. Everything is Bona and Yontif.
But according to Rishon Zalman, it's a deraisa
on Yontif. No, if there's no lights, if there's lights, then it's going to be deraisa according to Rishon Zalman.
Right.
According to Rishon Zalman, there's not going to be any difference. Right. There is one last interpretation that Chazal give in the Pasuk Lo Sevar Eish B'Chomash Shosechem. It's not in the world of Halacha. It's an interesting drush. It comes from the Zohar. Usually I don't quote Zohar. It's not going to give a Hoshir in the Zohar, but the Zohar says on the Pasuk Lo Sevar Eish B'Chomash Shosechem. It's an important message to remember. So it says Lo Sevar Eish B'Chomash Shosechem Yom Shabbos. A person is not allowed to get angry on Shabbos. Lo Sevar Eish. A person gets angry, gets all burnt up, gets fired up. So that's a special issur on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to get angry all week long, but to get angry on Shabbos, that's a greater avir. Perhaps that's what the Gemara means when it says in Masechta Shabbos that the Yetzirah's favorite time of the week is right before Lech Benching. So we all know what it's like. So you're in the house and everyone's trying to jump into the shower at the last minute. People are coming running. Your mother's trying to light Bench Lech and everyone's late for Mincha and everyone's late. Can't find their clothes. Can't find this. Can't find that. So that's the last minute. So the Gemara says that people get so agitated right before Shabbos. So the Satan's dancing because that's when it gets everyone to fight with each other. So Dafku and Shabbos is coming. It's supposed to be a time of Shalom. It's supposed to be a time when everyone's relaxed and calm and enjoying. So the something gets in that last fight right before Shabbos. So that's what the Torah says in Parshas Vayakov. Make sure when it comes time to lighting the candles on Shabbos, so when you're lighting your candles before Shabbos, in order to make sure that you don't light on Shabbos, not to violate Los Sevar Reish, so the Torah says at that moment in time, Lech Benching time, Los Sevar Reish, B'chom HaShoseh B'yom Shabbos. Make sure that you don't get angry on Friday afternoon. If you get angry on Friday afternoon, then you're undoing the entire, whatever the Shabbos candles are supposed to accomplish. Shabbos candles are supposed to be L'Shalom Bayis. So it's a person in the the process of getting ready for Shabbos, gets into a fight with his wife, gets into a fight with his kids. So the satan gets a good laugh at us. So after we have to be misgabra over the satan. In terms of halacha, bait in terms of Musa.